Hi, I'm Andre Huey, and welcome to Just Friends, where we discuss life from a spiritual perspective with Just Friends. And with me this today are wonderful friends of mine, Pastor Rudell, Pastor Donna, Nicole, and Karen, and we'll be discussing a very interesting topic for you today. But before we get into that, I would like to allow them to introduce themselves. I'm going to start with Pastor Rudell.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Rudell Williams. I hail from the United Nations of Nevis, beautiful island. And we are here just to share a wonderful experience with you. And I pray that as we go forward, that you will learn something at the end of this show.
Hello, everyone. Greetings. We are so glad that you have joined us today. And we have gathered together as friends just to talk, just to have a conversation. And we have opened it up so that you can be a part of this conversation. And hopefully your life would be blessed, encouraged as we just talk. So welcome to the show.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Nicole Frederick. I'm so delighted to be on this show. I'm excited. At the same time, I'm a little bit afraid, but I'm going to do it afraid. The reason why I'm on this show is because I would like those who are listening to experience a little bit of what I have experienced in God. And I have seen myself move from a place of a seed, which had so much potential, moving into a tree, and now someone who has bear much fruit. Because being in the right environment with the right nurture, you have so much potential.
Amen. That's wonderful, Nicole. Hello, everyone. My name is Karen Hughes, and I'm happy to be here sharing with my friends here today. And I hope that what we have to impart will actually make a difference in your lives out there, understanding that as we go through life, that we really need the Lord to make a difference in the lives that we live. Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't think I need to introduce myself. Too many people know me. But I'm Andre Huey, Pastor Huey, and I am looking forward to this show to be able to share with everyone and to share with persons who are watching to let them know that God cares for them. God loves them, no matter what they've done or where they've been. God still cares and still loves them, and that he has a purpose for your life, and that he wants you to discover that purpose by having a relationship through his son, Jesus Christ. So I'm really looking forward to this. All right, well, we're going to be discussing today the topic of allowing God to use us and how we allow God to use us. And I think for many people, that is a bit of a, you know, abstract topic. I mean, how can God use you? What does that mean, etc.? So we're going to be talking, sharing from our experiences as well, and giving persons the opportunity to learn what it is like to be used by God. And so I'm going to start again with Pastor Rudell, and then we'll mix it up. You know, we won't have to go in the same order. But just to share your experience, Pastor, of how you met God and how you got in contact with God. And for you, what does it mean to be used by God?
Well, I will first like to start by saying that God uses ordinary people, just like me, just like you. God uses ordinary people. My journey is not one that I would even call close to perfect. I am not a perfect person, but I am an available person. And for you who are out there watching, God can use you in just the way you are. You can come just as you are, and God will transform your life into what he wants it to be, not what society wants it to be, not what your friends want it to be, but what God wants it to be. My story, I remember when I came to Christ, not to ministry, not to preaching, because before anything or all of that happens, you need to come to Christ. And so before ministry, before being a preacher, before being a pastor, I had to give my life to Christ. I grew up in a Baptist church. My parents took me to church. I went to Sunday school, I went to VBS, I went to all the things that the church was having, but I still wasn't safe. You know, I was still living my own life. I put tattoos on my skin. I was a part of a gang. I did everything that my parents tell me not to do. But one day, I was asked a question, a very threatening question, and it was simple, just asking me, like, and the person put it over like this: you're pretending to be what you're not, and if you die, where you're going? If I could be honest, I wanted to hit them. They basically tell me, you're playing Christian, and your parents are Christian, but you're not a Christian. And I sat down there, and one day I made up my mind, and I said, you know what? going to go and tell all my friends that I am finished with the lifestyle and hanging out on the block and getting into fights, and I was finished with it. And I made up my mind to just say, listen, I'm going to walk away from that and follow this. That didn't make it easy or perfect. I still struggle. I still had to go through problems. I am still struggling. I am still going through problems because I am far, far from perfect. But God used imperfect people for his glory and for his honor.
And that's all it's all about, because I think a lot of times people think that you have to be perfect. You know, you hear people say sometimes, you know, they're not going to come to church yet because they want to be ready. And that readiness never comes, because the truth of the matter is it's not us and we can't do it. It's a process, and it's the Holy Spirit that will take you through that process. All right. Nicole, we said we're going random, you know, so.
Oh my God, that was fast. Okay, how did I come to know Christ? I grew up in a small little community called Molyneux. I was raised by my grandmother in a great home, great family. But because of some bad choices along the way, I ended up on a path on which God did not choose for me. Along the way, I picked up some burdens, ended up as part of statistics. I became a teenage mother, engaged in premarital sex, adultery, and everything that you can think of. And I got angry. I with those burdens that I picked up, it bared fruit. And so I bared anger, frustration. I felt a sense of rejection because I couldn't understand why was it that I was not raised with my mom, but rather I was raised with my grandmother. And so I bared some bad fruits, because they are good fruits and bad fruits. And Pastor D, I remember one time being at your home, and you looked at me and you said, why are you always so defensive when you're asked a question? And I didn't even recognize that I was a defensive person, but it was because of what I've been through. I had to always fight. I had to always feel like I have to fight to belong. I had to fight to whatever. And in all of that, it came a point where it had become so burdensome, I couldn't do it on my own anymore. And I felt like I needed a savior. And I remember one night, it was an evening, I think it was a Sunday evening, the pressures had become so much that I went to the bathroom and I stayed in there and I cried. I cried out to God and I said, God, because I knew God. My grandmother took me to church every Sunday. I was going to Sunday school, etc. So I knew of God, but I did not have a relationship with God. And I stayed in that bathroom and I cried out to God and I said, God, you have to help me. I am at a place where I cannot do it on my own anymore. And that night, I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And ever since, it has been a turning point for me. And I'm telling you, I am not a special person. I am just an ordinary person. In fact, even sitting here, I'm ordinary. When I look around, I'm amongst pastors. There's Pastor Rudell, there's Pastor Donna, there's Minister Karen, and there's Pastor Huey. And I'm like, who am I? So sometimes we think that we dismiss our own selves, but God can use you no matter how ordinary you are.
That's right. Amen.
Pastor Donna, we're going to come over to you.
Thank you, Pastor Huey. Nicole, that was very touching. For me, I grew up in a home where, God was not mentioned. Nobody went to church or read the Bible or anything like that. But there was a young lady that took me to church when I was just 3 years old, just a little kid. And I was introduced to God, to Jesus Christ. And I can recall that they would tell me that I would come home, I would come back home, and I would say, tell my parents, Mommy and Daddy, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to give your life to Jesus at 3 years old. And that trend just continued for me, even though everybody else around me did not focus on God. You know, God had me in a special place. And for me, that's very touching, because it's not that I went looking for him, but he came looking for me, that even from a little child, that God would make himself known to me. And it just reminds me of, even, I hope I'm not going ahead of myself, but it just reminds me of even like Abraham, when, you know, Abraham lived in an area where nobody knew God, but God would speak to Abraham, that God would reach out to him. And I feel a lot like that. And over the years, I have always just gone, you know, and seeked after him and stayed in that place. And I can recall as a child, 8 years old, that, you know, when the church next door would be having crusades and stuff, that I would go. I would ask my parents if I can go, and they would let me go to the night services. And I can recall sitting on the church benches with adults surrounding me, and I'm just that little girl. And, you know, they would give me, and I would say it was a Seventh-day Adventist church, because where I grew up on East Park Range, the Seventh-day Adventist church was just across the road. And so they would give me the folder with the whole layout of the stuff. And I'd feel so good, a little 8-year-old girl. And I would sing those songs on the screen, and, you know, like that. And I continued with him. But, you know, as I became a teenager, somehow, somewhere along the way, I kind of drifted away from God. And so much so, you know, I got pregnant in church, and, everybody, you know, talked about the situation, and, you know, you felt so rotten and everything. But somewhere along the way, you know, God always had me. And even though I messed up and I was I did the wrong things, you know, my heart was still always towards God. And that's one of the things I say, you know, don't judge people because you see them make a mistake or you see them falter. Because even those that you see out there maybe doing their own thing, you don't know at night or whenever in their quiet time, they have private conversations with God. And they want their life to be better. They don't like the life that they are living. But we can't judge people because of how we see them operate. Because no man knows the heart conversations that they have with their God. Amen. And so, I continued in my sinful life, and, you know, got pregnant again, and everybody talked again, and I did the pregnancy and I did the baby thing by myself, and, you know, going through heartbreak and being abandoned and all kind of stuff. Too much, it would take too long for this show if I have to go into that. And so, you know, coming to that kind of place, you know, I would always cry out to God and cry out to God and ask God to help me. I said, God, I want a Christian home. I want to raise my children in a Christian home. And this was my prayer throughout, especially my last pregnancy. This was my prayer. And God did some ramshackling in my life. You know, sometimes God ramshackles our lives, and we feel like all hell is breaking loose. But God ramshackled my life in a painful kind of way. And he just started to bring the pieces together. And, you know, I came back to him, and I've been with him ever since. And I will say this quickly, that I tell myself, if I have to live my life over again, I would still choose him. I would choose him above everything, above everyone else. Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, the testimonies are getting nicer and sweeter. We're coming down the line. Minister Karen? I'm going last, so you go next.
I guess my experience is probably a little boring. I fell in love with words. I think I must have been in love with words in the womb. And so I read very early, and I remember that we were exposed to church from an early age. We lived with my grandmother for several years in Nevis before we moved into our family home together.
And United Nation of Nevis, according to Minister
Pastor. Exactly, the one, the only. And my grandmother was, I think, one of the earliest influences in my life, apart from my parents. And I remember her. I often would sleep with her at night, and I would remember her just praying for the family, praying for us. I wouldn't say that she was a huge Christian or anything like that, but she had a relationship with the Lord, and she would cry out to the Lord on our behalf. And I believe that that was a foundational part of my coming to know the Lord. But what I definitively recall is that I was around 7 years old, and back in the day, you would go to church, and you almost everybody would go to the Gospel Hall Sunday schools. And I went to Amos Chapel in Nevis, Brother Kelly and his lovely wife. And I remember they were talking about Jesus, and at the coming on to the end of one service, they said, "Well, anybody in here would like to get saved?" And it was very clear to me. I remember that. It was very clear to me. And I expected everybody to raise their hands, but it was just me and one other person who raised our hands in that service. And they took us to the back, and they prayed with us. Little did I know that I would pray that prayer many times throughout the years. But that was my first formal decision to choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you know the journey. As you go through life, as you get older, you go through the teenage years, you tend to kind of drift. But I can recall it was around 1994, and I was in law school, and we had a little Christian gathering. And I remember the speaker said, "God only hears the prayers of the righteous." And I it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I remember I went home and I said, "Am I righteous? Am I righteous?" And for some reason, that just rocked me to my core, because I began to consider whether I truly was in God. And I decided at that point to just rededicate myself to the Lord. And it's been an interesting journey, an incredible journey. And what I can say that I have learned along the way, and many times I've said to the Lord, "Okay, Lord, clearly, if it's up to Karen, you might as well just throw me away, because I ain't no good. By myself, I'm no good." And on a regular basis, the enemy comes and tells me, "You know you're a loser, right? But God reached down and picked me up, and he keeps setting me back on the path over and over again." You know, Nicole said that she's among this company, but guess what? Those are just labels. The most important label is that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I am honored that he would choose me, Karen, just Karen. He would choose me to be a part of his kingdom.
That's a very powerful, powerful testimony. Wonderful. See, wasn't that all that boring at all? Actually, it was not boring at all. Not boring at all. But I grew up in a Christian home. My mother was a minister, was actually a pastor for a church in Jamaica where I grew up. And, you know, as a pastor's kid, you sometimes feel like, well, because your parents are pastors, you are, right? You don't really have to do anything. So automatically, right? So, you know, when other children, I used to go to things like Good News Club and Sunday school. And when all the children were saying the Lord's Prayer, or not the sinner's prayer, I didn't think I needed to, because my mother's a good Christian, my father's a good Christian, so I good. And then I remember one year I attended a crusade at our church, and I was there, you know, my niece was there, my niece went up to the altar when the altar call was made, and I sort of felt the need to go, but I didn't want to go, because again, I keep telling myself I don't need to, because I'm covered by my parents, so I'm good. My father was sitting behind me, and God bless his soul, if he wasn't with me, I probably wouldn't have gone up there. He tapped me on the shoulder gently, and I turned around, and he said, he just did this. And I went to the altar. And the experience I had there was like no other. It's like I just started crying uncontrollably. I was 12 years old. I didn't understand what was happening. But I knew right there and then, when I said that prayer, something happened inside of me. And I've never been the same since. And it has been, you know, when you get saved at a young age, you will make the same mistakes, like, you know, the teenager mistakes, and you stray away. And you. That was me growing up in high school. And then when I got to when I left school, when I graduated from high school, or close to that time, is that the Lord, you know, kind of, you know, arrested me and said, you know, you are called to greater than this. And you need to walk into the calling that you've been called into. And from that moment, I decided, well, you know what? I have to take my walk with God more seriously, because for most of my high school years, I wasted most of it, you know, falling friends. And then it got to a point where I realized I have to now take my faith more seriously. So I started to make certain changes in my life, started to stop listening to certain music, stop keeping certain friends, and just make a drastic change in my life. Because at that point, God started to use me. And so I started to, you know, get opportunities to preach in church at 18. I remember the first sermon I preached. It was a competition that we had for convention, youth convention. And they call it teen speaking. So you go, you get a little 5 minutes, you get a topic and a scripture, and you have to sermonize it for about 5 minutes. And I remember when I got mine and I prepared and I went ahead and I did it, it's like everybody, there was something about it that God was showing me that this is what I called you to. And at 17, 18 years old, I realized that my calling was in ministry, in other things as well, but also in ministry. And from there on, I decided to take my walk more seriously. It has not been easy. And I will not tell anybody that it has been easy. Because the same temptations that other people go through as young men, same temptations I was faced with. And there were times when I felt like God, like I failed God so many times that why would he even bother to use me? There were times when I really felt, you know, as they was telling me, you just need to walk away because you feel God so many times. You tell him all the time, you're not going to do it, and you end up doing it. He's not going to listen to you. He's not going to take you serious. And I felt almost like walking away because I felt like, you know, what I was experiencing and what I was going through and the many times I failed God, is like God can't use me anymore. But every time I felt that way, God always come back and showed me that he loves me, and no matter what I've done, where I've gone, he still wants me and still wants to use me. So even on the topic we're talking about today, it just goes to show you that no matter what your past is, where you come from, how many times you feel you fail God, he always loves you and he always is seeking out for you. You know, as the scripture talks about, he leaves the 99 and go for that one that is missing. That's the God we serve. So I'm hoping that when we have this discussion today, that people realize that no matter what your background is, what family you come from, what your status is in life, God can use you. All right? Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and come right back. You're watching Just Friends, our first edition, right here on this platform. This edition of Just Friends is sponsored by Land Solutions, the right solution for your land. They provided the floral arrangements for this program. Contact them at 661-9888. They provide trucking and earthworks services. Land Solutions, the right solution for your land.
There was an influencer who became insanely popular. Everybody started following him. Then, one day, he stood up for something he believed in. People got angry. The establishment called him an extremist, said he shouldn't be allowed to share his views. They would stop at nothing to shut him up. So they did what they had to do. They nailed him to a cross.
Welcome back to Just Friends, and we want to thank our sponsors for supporting our show. I'm Andre Huey, your host, and we're discussing the topic, God can use ordinary people. And it doesn't matter where your background, what your background is, God can use you. And so our friends here today will be discussing that particular topic. So just before the break, we shared a bit of our testimony and how God, where God took us from and where we are now. I want us to look at or begin looking at the topic of making God real. I think a lot of times people who question our faith or question whether or not they want to become Christians, they ask the question, is God real? You know, they'll say they pray to God, but they didn't get any answer, or they just think that God is a figment of our imagination. How can we, as believers, make God real to people? Pastor, I don't know if you want to start with that.
Well, for me, God is real. And I believe that even as we look through scripture, we realize that God always wants to have a relationship with people. He wants to have a relationship with us. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about being religious. But it's about a God that wants to walk with us, a God that wants to talk with us, a God that wants us to know who he is, and to just have that kind of relationship. You just imagine that when Adam and Eve sinned, and human beings were separated from God because of sin, because sin separates us from God, that God would take his only son and send him down to this wretched and wicked world just so that he can die, just so that what? He can bring human beings back into relationship with himself. And so this is the kind of God that we serve. He's a real God. He's a personal God. Even when he sent Moses to Pharaoh in Exodus, and he told him to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I mean, this sounded like a crazy thing. And so Moses asked God, well, God, when I go, who should I say send me that I would go to Pharaoh and tell him that? Who said? And God said, tell them I am that I am, have sent you. You see, because God wanted Moses to know his name. God wanted Moses to understand who he was. We are not serving a God who wants to hide things from us and hide himself from us. You understand? He's a personal God. And even in my own life, I have spent so much time with God that I have come to a place where I can say that I know him personally. That if a day would pass and I don't pray, if I don't go and spend some time with him, I'm telling you, I feel out of place. I feel like everything is out of order, because we have a relationship. It's just as if you are dating somebody or you like somebody, and you know, every minute you want to talk to them, you want to WhatsApp them, you want to call them, you know, and as we say, you know, you're talking to them at night, you hang up the phone. And they say, no, you hang up. And they say, no, you hang up. Say, you hang up, you know. And we just go back and forth, because you don't even want to leave the person. Can I just tell you that this is the kind of relationship that we can have with our God? I will tell you something. I remember some years ago that I was about to go to sleep. I think I had to preach or something the next day. And the Spirit of God was just talking to me. And, you know, to people listening, it might sound weird that you would say God would talk to you. God wants to talk to you. And he was just talking to me. And I was, you know, and I was just getting so tired, so sleepy. And I said, you know, God, I really want to hear what you're telling me. But I said, but I'm really tired. I just would like to get some rest. And I said, you know, we can continue, you know, in the morning. Can I tell you that in the morning, when my eyes opened up, God just continued to talk to me. You know, and it might sound to persons listening like, you know, you're in the clouds, your head isn't good, maybe you need to go up on the ward at the hospital. But God is amazing. Hallelujah. And you know, it's an awesome thing to spend time with him, to be in his presence. You know, everything that we could ever desire is in the presence of the Lord. Anything that we are dealing with in our lives, that we are struggling with, that we are fighting to overcome, you know, get into the presence of God, and God will help you. God will deliver you.
I really started thinking, and only one scenario comes to my mind. If you never wear Jordans, you will never know how they feel. If you never wear Gucci, you will never know how it feels. If you never wear Nikes, you will never know how it feels. And so I cannot sit down here, right, and really explain to you how real God is. But what I would say is, you have to come and try him for yourself.
Taste and see that the Lord is good, as the Bible says.
You have to come and see and feel, because I know you might sit back there and say, we heard all of this before, We heard about, oh, how God is real, and he's in nature, he's in the wind, he's in everything that surrounds us. But until you come and taste,
yes,
and really, yeah, see that God is real, you would never know. I have tasted, I have seen it in my own life, I have experienced it, and even when I want to give up, you hear this voice telling you, I am not done yet. I am not done yet. I am not done yet. And let me tell you something. When God starts something, he's not done until it's good. He's not done until it's accomplished. And in my own life, in experiencing God, I always like to tell people, just like the blind man by the pool of Bethesda, he was waiting for somebody to put him in. All he needed was to put in. His whole body didn't have to go in, you know. Once the water was troubled and that one foot go in, he would have been healed. I want to tell somebody, if you want to know if God real, put your foot in the water. Amen. Come and taste and see. And there are a lot of judgments out there, you know, Pastor Huey. It's easy when they hear pastor, you know, pastor, minister, pastor. The judgment already high. In their minds, you know, because the thing is, we are easily judged, but we are not. The time is not given, or the opportunity is not given for people to even really get to know us.
Yeah.
And if you want to get to know God, look at my life, because I always tell people I try to live as real as possible, and as real as you see me living, that's how real God is. As real as you are sitting down in your front room, in your bedroom, wherever you're watching the show from, as real as you are sitting there, that's how real God is. When you feel a headache, that's how real God is. When you get a belly ache, that's how real God is. When you get when things cloud your eyes and you have to go to the doctor for glasses, that's how real God is. The pain that you feel, everything that you're going through, the real situations that you have in your life, there is a real God to fix those situations.
Indeed. So, you know, as you talk about that, I think a lot of times people, and even during Jesus' time, when Jesus walked on the earth, people like to see evidence, physical evidence for them to prove that this God exists. So for the people in Jesus' time, they would not believe unless they saw Jesus heal the blind man or the lame walked, or even better yet, raising people from the dead. And that's when everybody started to believe. But God says, but Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. And while there are physical evidences of God at work, there are a lot of things that we can talk about in our lives that prove that God exists. And I always tell people, just the mere fact that you're alive, that you're breathing, is evidence of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament declare it and show it his handiwork. Everything that exists. I mean, when you look at even science, have always tried to figure out how certain things are done, or how the earth was created, and they come up with their theories and everything. It actually takes more faith to believe in a lot of scientific theories than to believe in God. You know, you might as well just believe in God undone, because the kind of faith that it takes to believe in evolution and to believe in, you know, there was an explosion and the earth came to being. I always give an example. People drive cars. Cars are so meticulously made and so intricate. If this part is not functioning, it affects the function of some other part of the car. That was intelligently designed. Our bodies are far more intelligently designed than vehicles and cars. So you're telling me that it takes intellectual knowledge to make something that is less intellectually designed than my human body. And it just exploded and exists? Automatically? Doesn't make any sense. So just even in creation itself, that proves that God is real. But I'm gonna chime in a little bit later. I don't want to take no more time from Nicole, so I know Nicole has something grand to share with us. I don't want to put you on the spot, right? Just say.
Okay, so presenting God as being real, I'm gonna start with my own real experiences that I have had with God, and then I'm gonna take you to a biblical aspect. But I remember, even as a child, God exists. God exists, and God is real, even when you are not aware that he is real. And I remember, as a child, reading the Bible. I remember being in my room, and the first thing I read about was a covenant. And I said, what is a covenant? And I did some research on what a covenant is. And I said, God, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And I made a covenant with God. And I remember asking God, I said, God, I said, if you are real, when I grow up, I would like a husband, but I want a husband with one blue eye and one green eye. And I made this big, you know, thing to God. And I tell God, if you real, you know, prove to me that you are real. But can I tell you, you might laugh, but I was in a marriage before I was married. Unfortunately, I'm now divorced. It didn't work out for a lot of reasons. But my husband had one green eye and one blue eye. Yes. So God is real. And he wants, when you first give your life to God, or even when you begin seeking, God is going to prove himself to you over and over and over and over again until you become rooted. And when you're rooted enough, then you now have to prove yourself to God in ways. And so when I gave my life to Christ in that bathroom, I still was not at the place that I needed to be, but change had come. And I was in a relationship where I should not be in the relationship, and I felt uncomfortable. I begin to feel uncomfortable, and I tell God, I said, God, you got to take me out of this, you know, because how am I going to serve you and I'm still in this thing? And I remember going to some services, and one service I went to, the lady said that she called me. She asked me to stand, and she prophesied over me. And she said, you are battling with something that needs to be broken. And in order for it to be broken, you have to sow a seed. And I did not know what a seed was. I had a friend there, and I looked at her. It was Doris. And I said, Doris, what's a seed? What she mean? Mango seed? Kind of seed, you know? And she explained to me it was money. And, you know, being a babe in Christ, I said, she ain't getting my money. I went home angry. And I said, God, if she's such a woman of God, why she need money? You don't need money. And I went to sleep that night. And when I went to sleep that night, I prayed before I went to sleep. And I remember as I went to sleep, this person appeared to me in my dream, and it was just, I didn't see like a complete figure, but it was a white, bright light. It was so white, like a white that I've never seen before. And just before I wake up, all the individual said to me was, have you ever sown a seed? And with that, I was awake, and I said, you know, I'm gonna sow a seed. And I went and I placed the money and I sowed a seed. And from that day, the desire for that individual, it was just gone. Amen. Just like that. And I saw God prove himself. God is real. God is looking for relationships. And as Pastor D says, when you're in a relationship, you want to do everything for that individual to please that person. And it's the same way that God wants to do everything for you to please you. There's nothing that you can be going through that God's hands of love, God's hands of mercy, God's hand cannot reach down and pull you out of that situation. But can I tell you that there is someone who sees you? There's a passage in scripture that says, with Hagar, when she said that God sees me, Elroy, the God who sees me. God sees you in your mess. He sees you without your wig. He sees you without your makeup. Right. He sees you without your title. He sees you without everything that you have, that you have built for yourself. He sees you without all of that. And he accepts you just as you are. And that is what relationships are about. Relationships are about loving individuals, not only when they are all dressed up and made up and seemingly put together. Relationships are about seeing people in their mess and loving them regardless.
Well said, well said. Mr. Cameron, before I come to you, we're going to take another break and come right back. You are watching Just Friends. We'll be right back after these messages.
This edition of Just Friends is sponsored by Land Solutions, the right solution for your land. They provided the floral arrangements for this program. Contact them at 661-9888. They provide trucking and earthworks services. Land Solutions, the right solution for your land.
Welcome back to Just Friends. I'm Andre Hugh, your host, and we've been talking on the topic of God can use ordinary people. Just before the break, we're sharing a bit about God, how real God really is. And Nicole, you were making the point that, you know, that God loves us and that he cares for us. And that's a very important point. And I think we really should stress that, because the world that we live in is so unforgiving. Now, because of social media, things that you said 5-10 years ago now comes back up. People bring it back up, you know, some tweet or some Facebook message that you may have posted at some point in your life. You may not have the same views anymore. People bring it up back and try to use it against you and to try to besmirch your character. And, you know, the world is just so unforgiving that no matter what you do, you can't make amends for the past. But in God's eyes, it's not like that. Because God understands that we are imperfect human beings and that some were such of us. We were at one point in our lives going down a road that society might not consider proper. And God took our lives from turn our lives around. Now, some people still might see you the same person you were 5-10 years ago, but God has changed your life and has allowed you to be on a different path. So it is so important, because when you know that even when society or even when people look down on you, God still looks at you highly, still loves you, still cares for you, still wants to see the best for you, that means a lot. Because to know that you have someone in your corner, to have someone as great as God in your corner, I mean, you can't lose from that. That's the biggest support you could ever get. So Minister Karen, over to you.
Wow, thank you, Pastor Huey. So many nuggets that have been shared already during this session. When I was thinking about this topic, I wasn't sure what exactly I was going to say. I know one of the things that I always say, and I think we've touched on that a lot today, about the power of relationship. And I always say that if somebody is important to you, whether it's a friendship or, you know, something romantic, sooner or later you have to talk about them. Something about the person has to come out of your mouth about them. And I think it's a similar thing, that if you really have a relationship with the Lord, unless you're planning to be a secret agent, something about him has to come out of your mouth. I remember I was in the supermarket a couple of years ago. I was dashing as usual and I was late, and you know how it is in those situations. You're standing in line and all sorts of things going wrong in front of you. Something wrong with the cashier or somebody, an old woman in front of you, and she's taking out the coin.
Every time when you're late, huh? Every time when you're late. You'll be on the road driving and somebody just slowing you down. Always when you're late.
Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong.
So I was in the supermarket and, you know, you're trying not to lose your cool, and I didn't even realize I was saying it so much. Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus! And the man behind me said, "You have any idea how many times you said help me, Jesus?" I said, "Because I need him. I need his help in the midst of this situation." And the truth of the matter is that it's a challenge, but if we are in a real relationship, then somehow or the other, it has to manifest. It has to come out. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. But I think it was last night, what came to me, we were talking about biblical examples. And I really admire the Daniels and the Josephs, but I'm just a real person. So my heroes are more the Davids and the Peters and the bad girls of the Bible. And this is no, all my life I really aspired to be a good girl. But the reality, Lord help me. Anyway, and this is what came to me, and that was the story of Rahab. And just talking about ordinary people. And so the story is that God had told the Israelites it was time to go and claim the promised land. Moses had died, and Joshua, as the new commander-in-chief, was preparing to go back into the land. But so much tralala had unfolded 40 years before when they were fixing to go into that land. The spies came back, and they had brought a bad report. There were 12 men that were sent out at that time. So Joshua said, boy, and only two, and that was Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report of the land that they were going into. So this time around, Joshua, because of his past experience, said, boy, let me just send two. So he sent two spies ahead of them to, you know, just figure out, scout out what was going on. And so he sent two spies. And the Lord being the Lord, he doesn't go about and pick the pretty and the nice, etc., etc., because that looks good from the outside. He causes them to encounter Rahab, a prostitute. And there's no biblical meaning will come up with that it's something else. No, a prostitute is a prostitute, yeah. Right? And that is who she was. However she got into that state, we don't know. It may have been that she was sold, we don't know. It may have been voluntary, we don't know, but she was a prostitute. So the spies go to Rahab's house, and they spend the night there, not as clients, but because they had to hide out. Because, of course, this was the enemy. So they go to Rahab's house, and the men of the city come, you know, the captain of the guard and so on. They come seeking out these men, these foreigners, because somebody reported and said that they had come, they had seen them. And she said, no, they're not here. They had probably gone somewhere else. And she hid them on the roof. So she goes and she has a conversation with them. And check this out. She begins to talk to the spies. Remember, they want to find out the lay of the land. And she says to them, I know the Lord has given you this land. That's the first thing she says to them. I know the Lord has given you this land. And then she goes and she says, we are all afraid of you. We heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. We know what you did to the kings of Sihon and Og. And then this is it. She said, no wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. So here is this lady. She is, back in the day, used to call it a lady of the night, a hoe, right? And this woman is a believer. She, because of what she had heard of what the Lord had done for the Israelites, she heard and she appropriated that to herself and she believed. And in believing, she is sharing her testimony with these men who had come to spy out the land. So she encourages them. She tells them, the Lord has given you this land. So the woman is prophesying. Mm-hmm. It had not happened yet. Wow. It had not happened yet. But she was prophesying that God had already done it. And to me, this was just such an example of, look at this thing. God is not a respecter of persons. He was not looking at her mess. He was calling her to himself. Right? And he uses her as his secret agent. Hallelujah. He uses her. He uses her to encourage them. He uses her to prophesy what was going to happen. And you see, Rahab only heard. She had not experienced God for herself as yet, the way the Israelites had personally experienced. But she heard this thing. What? God opened up the Red Sea when they came from Egypt, and she believed. You know, and yes, that is what the Lord is calling us to, each and every one of us, to hear and believe. And because she believed, it changed the trajectory of her life. It changed her destiny, because the men said to her, listen here, if you don't tell on us, if you don't betray us, we will make sure that you are safe when we come to attack the city. And she said, I accept your terms. And when she said, I accept your terms, I was like, she was saying, I'm taking the salvation that God is offering. Yep. And then here, you know, she then hangs a rope down through her window, and they're able to escape on that rope. And what color was that rope? The red. Rope was scarlet. Scarlet. It was red. And that represented the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they said to her, But we need you to not just betray us. Don't betray us. But when we come, make sure your whole family is in the house with you. Why? Because that represented the blood of Jesus. You and all of your household shall be saved when you come under the blood. So what do we learn from this? Not only is God not a respecter of persons, he's not focusing on your sins. He's not focusing on your past. He's focusing on the purpose that he has for you. Amen. And that is every single man, woman, boy, girl. He has a purpose for you. Amen. So it doesn't matter what happened in the past, what they said about you, what you did, how you've messed up, how you've fallen down over and over and over. If you've fallen down 1,000 times, he has a way of escape 1,001 times. That's because that's the kind of God that he is. He is real. He is present. I'm telling you, he's available. He's available. God uses ordinary people.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
You know, I took up this cup. You probably wonder why I took up this cup, right? Because while they were talking, I just imagining this cup being filled with the old time Kool-Aid that we used to make. Mm-hmm. And we used the brown sugar to sweeten it.
Yeah.
And we didn't strain it.
Yeah.
Majority of the times, people drink the drink and chow the dregs.
Yes.
When the word of God says that the God uses the base things.
Yes.
Majority of people chow away the dregs.
Go ahead.
I can tell you, I was a part of the dregs. I wasn't nothing great. I wasn't supposed to be anything great. I was supposed to be a part of the dregs in the bottom of the cup that the people throw away. But God used the dregs and he said, listen, I'm going to use it again to make another cup of drink so that you can serve to others.
That one is really a nice one too, you know. Throw some more water and mix it around. That one nice too. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, so we want to wrap up the topic because we've spoken on a lot of things and we've touched on a lot of things. If just each of you just briefly, just to expound on the importance of knowing that God can use you no matter what, no matter where your background is. Nicole, maybe we could start with you. Yes,
because it's a continuation from what Minister Karen was saying, that that God uses the ordinary people, like the people, as Pastor Woodell said, the dregs. Because oftentimes, especially in our society today, mm-hmm. you are labeled by your issue.
Yes.
If you are a thief, all the thief who live across McKnight, even though you have a name, they're going to say, man, the thiefing guy across the road, no, man. Yes. They refer to you as your issue that you are dealing with, whatever it is.
Even if you get a bachelor's degree, you're still the thief.
You're still the thief. Because they're unforgiving, as Pastor Huey said. They're unforgiving and they do not forget your past. They keep beating you over your head with your past. But with God, he exchanges your shame. He exchanges your guilt. He exchanges that for something else. And so you are able to speak boldly, regardless of whatever the issue that you had been dealing with. And I'm going to go back to the same scripture with the woman with the issue of blood. In the passage, it said that now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. Mm. She had fear. And falling down before him, she submitted. And she declared in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. That was her testimony.
Yeah.
She testified. She was just an ordinary person, an unseen person, a cast out. But because of what God had done for her, she was able to testify what God had done. And that is what God wants to do. He can use you no matter what issue, no matter what problem, no matter what it is that you're dealing with.
That's right.
He can use you.
Yes.
And he wants to use you. He wants to use whatever it was that you've been through. He wants to turn it around for good, because that is what he does. He used every bad thing and he turned it around for good. For his glory, not for your glory, but for his glory. And so she was able to tell everybody. Because as Minister Karen says, when you're in a relationship, at one point or another, you want to tell people about the good news.
Yes.
You want to tell, hey, you know who I will, I mean, I met this guy. And he has such a smile and his eyes. Oh, my God. And you just want to tell people everything that you could basically tell them about that individual. God can use you. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what situation that you're going through. God is able to use you. He wants to use you. But in order for you to be used, you must make yourself available. You must come into that relationship. You must have enough of yourself to tell yourself, I need something better. As Pastor Huey said, that our Minister Karen, I'm not sure, that you have a purpose even before you were born. God has purposed you before you were placed on this earth. And you are important to him. So important that he says, this is one of my favorite scriptures, that he says that he numbers the hairs on your head, and that his thoughts towards you, I think it's in Psalms, his thoughts towards you are more than the grain of sand. Somebody who think about you more than, can you count sand? You can't count sand. So he's constantly always thinking about you. He's just waiting for you to come to him, regardless of whatever situation you find yourself in.
Yes, amen. If I can just jump in there. And the thoughts he says that he thinks towards you are thoughts for good and not for evil. Thoughts to give you peace and hope and expected end. And this morning as I was doing my devotions, I felt the Lord was really, he brought this scripture to me. This is what the Lord says from Isaiah 45 and verse 1. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one, whose right hand will have power. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Their fortress gates will be opened, never to shut again. This is what the Lord says. I will go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this. Why? And this is why he's calling ordinary people. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. Deshaun, Sandra, Kenesha, Andre, Donna. I am the one who calls you by name. And why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. I am the Lord. There's no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. Why? So that all the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. And that is why he calls ordinary people.
Amen.
So we realize that God calls ordinary people. And who is more ordinary than Moses? And so Moses was content to live where he was living. He was satisfied with his life. He was comfortable. But later on, as we read, we realized that God went calling for Moses. We read about the burning bush when God told him, you know, the place where you're standing is holy ground and all of that. And God called him to do something mighty for him. But what gets my attention, it says that Moses was content to dwell where he was. It means that Moses had already settled in his life. He had already made up his mind that this is where he's going to be. This is where he's going to spend the rest of his life, away from the drama, away from a lot of things. But God came, and I like to say, God interrupted Moses' life.
God loves to do that.
And maybe even some of the persons that are listening, that are viewing, maybe, you know, you have decided that this is the way you are going to live, that you are comfortable, you are content where you are. But I believe that even as with us coming into your homes today and coming over the airwaves, that this is God interrupting your life, because this is how God does the things. He interrupts people's life because he has a greater purpose for us. And whenever God interrupts somebody's life, it's because he is calling them to something, something great, something powerful, something wonderful that he has for them to do and that he has for them to be.
So I want to thank you for joining us. Thanks all our friends, Pastor Riddell, Pastor Donna, Nicole, Minister Karen, for being with us here this evening, and for giving us the opportunity to come into your homes. and to really impart with you. Join us again. Next time, we'll have another edition of Just Friends. And remember to like our Facebook page. Make sure you follow us on YouTube and on Instagram. Wherever we are, just look for Just Friends and follow us there. And stay tuned for all the updates.